Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks, episode 22. I'm your host, Jonathan Kerma. I'm not even going to lie to you guys, that's my third take doing that. I'm an Amherst Wire entertainment editor, Moogatoon's tastemaker, and Hold My Drink sports contributor. And with me is our other host,
Trevor Wilson, writer for the Amherst Wire and a tastemaker for Moogatoon's. Episode 22.
Be out here.
Yeah. It's a wet day in Amherst today.
It is very wet.
Yeah. You know, this, Kerm and I, we're feeling a little under the weather, but, you know, that's not going to stop us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sleep deprived, but, you know, I'm still out here like I'm Jordan and I'm flu game sick. Let's get it. So before we get into things, follow us on social media.
Please.
Like, pretty like, please. 808s underscore A-Breaks on both Instagram and Twitter. Give us a follow. If you're really feeling, you know, nice today, generous, follow at jkerman98. That's me on Twitter and Instagram. Trevor?
I'm on Twitter at TrevorWilsonOG, and my Instagram is Trevor underscore Wilson08. And yeah.
All right.
So we plugged it. Now
today we're back to talking hoops. I know we got hoops hands that are probably listening to this podcast saying like
these kids suck.
It's 808s and ankle breaks, but they always talk about the 808s. But now we got the ankle breaks.
You're getting your representation today.
So today we'll be talking Mark Cuban's most recent fine. Well, it's not even a fine, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's donated money to women's organization, the Me Too movement.
Yep.
As part of the sexual assault allegations within the Mavericks business.
Yep. We're also talking Jimmy Butler and his request to be traded from the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, we'll be talking about NBA Media Day. We'll just be looking at a couple quotes and seeing if they're newsworthy. I forgot. 808 side of things. We're also talking Young Thug's new EP, On the Run,
mm-hmm.
as well as the general slap or skip that we do every week. So let's get right into that slap or skip.
You know it's good.
All right. So slap or skip, say it every week. It's our segment where we look at the hottest singles of the week. If it slaps, we're going to give it the slap noise. So that's how you know it's hot. If it's skippable, we give it a skip to let you know it's not flying in our aux. You know what I'm saying?
Hell no.
Don't put it on. So our first single is Adding Up, Kevin Gates.
I'm going to give this one a meh. I liked his other two singles that he put out before this. This one kind of just feels, I don't know, like the same old for me. Nothing really new, nothing different for Kevin Gates. I like that he's making music again, though. It's been a while, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's okay.
We're pretty much on the same page here. The hook of where he's saying adding up, and then he just keeps naming, like, he's like 1 million, 2 million, adding up. It's like, it's not the catchiest for me. I thought his flow was pretty, you know, it's his same, he's used this flow before. It's not necessarily a bad song. If you like Kevin Gates, you'll probably love the song. Mm-hmm. I just think it's pretty mediocre for right. Kevin Gates. Next, we got Nervous, Famous Dex featuring Lil Baby, Jay Critch, and Rich the Kid. What'd you think, Trevor?
I'm gonna give this one a meh also. Famous Dex, he sounds pretty offbeat. I don't know if you noticed that, but when he sounded offbeat a couple times. Him and Rich the Kid have the same exact flow on this track. Nothing really special for them. I will say, however, I did like the Lil Baby and the Jay Critch verses. Those were fire. It's okay. Nothing special.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was kind of tempted to give this a super slap.
Wow.
It's not a super slap. Oh, it's a slap. It's okay. A slap.
Oh, man. That's embarrassing.
Well, there we go. Now they know. Slap. So this song, one, the beat is hard.
The beat is hard.
It reminds me of something off of like Playboi Carti's Die Lit. Yeah. Maybe just a little less like intoxicating. You know, it doesn't engulf you as much as a lot of those beats do. But overall, I like most people's performances on the song. I love Famous Dex on the hook. I actually didn't notice he was off beat, but I'll probably listen for it now. His delivery is just so distinct and just so funny that, like, anytime I listen to a Famous Dex song, I just kind of have a good time.
Yeah, Pick It Up. Like, Pick It Up is, like, the first song I think of, and, like, Famous Dex just sounds like he's having a blast.
Yeah, he sounds like he's having a blast in this one, too. I love Lil Baby's verse. I think he really killed the beat.
He did.
He's on the song for, like, sounds like 20 seconds, but his verse is very meaningful to the song. Jay Critch is also pretty hard. Mm. If I'm being honest, I actually didn't remember Rich the Kid was on this song, so that's saying something. But other than that, it's a slap.
Yeah.
Next we got Stuck, Earth Gang featuring Aaron Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give this a slap. This is very, like, soulful. I don't know. I really love the vocals on this. I always forget the guy's name. Can you
Johnny Venus?
Can you be quiet, please?
Sorry,
I heard the coughing in my econ class for the past 50 minutes. All right, and I'm never going back to that class again, bro. I'm gonna get sick.
I'm done coughing today.
All right.
Sorry.
We on the same page?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
So before Kerm interrupted me. Stuck is a slap easily for me. I love the instrumental on this one. It's so smooth, very laid back. You know, it sounds like what you would expect from Earth Gang, but it's dope.
Oh! With it. Well, I'm going to give it a super slap. I don't care if I'm biased. I don't care. Thank you.
That's the second time I messed up today. Yeah, See, the drops are all in weird places. So
it's all good. So, yeah, I'm giving this a super slap. One, because I'm biased. And two, because, like, this is a really good Earth Gang song. Every time I listen to Earth Gang, I seem to always forget, you know, that they're more than just great rappers. Mm-hmm. Like, their melodies are amazing. Their choice in instrumentals, like, is this I love this beat. It's got, like, a groovy guitar going. It's got a lot packed into it. The song's really about, you know, being in a toxic relationship and not being able to leave that. You keep coming back for some reason. And I just think they executed that very well in the verses. Definitely a great song in my opinion. Next we got 151 Rum, J.I.D.
I typed it in wrong.
What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
I'm giving this a super slap. This is a banger. J.I.D. Yep. Murders it. Through and through, the beat is fire. That vocal sample, whatever it is in the background, I love the effects they put on it. And he sounds different. His voice sounds a little bit deeper on it, but I love it. It's different style for him, but he switches it up, and I love it. It's definitely a super slap.
Yeah, I'm also going to give it a super slap because I'm biased. But this song, man, J.I.D. puts on a rap clinic.
This has me hyped.
Clinic. The hook, it's not necessarily catchy because he raps so fast. Like, I don't think it's really an easy thing to mimic. But I love the hook. I love the bars on this one. J.I.D. is pretty much just talking about, you know, living in the streets of Atlanta. You got lyrics pretty much just talking about one of his friends passing away and just how that affected him. Overall, just a really powerful
solid
song.
Solid track.
Yeah, powerful song mechanically and lyrically. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's a super slap. Next, we got French Montana. He dropped 3 songs on his No Stylist single, which, like, if it's a single,
it's an EP. I'm going to call it an EP, but whatever.
So the first song is it's titled the same thing as the EP, No Stylist, featuring Drake. What'd you think of this one?
I'm going to skip this one. I'm just not feeling it. French Montana and the Drake verse is just so, I guess, bland. Like, it's what Drake. It's the same shit Drake's been doing for the past like 2 years. I feel like he just has run out of material to write about. He's just saying the same stuff over and over again. French Montana doesn't do anything special here. It's very catchy. This is a really catchy song for sure. If it comes on in the club, you know, I might get jiggy with it. But I don't know. I'm gonna skip it. It's not for me.
I'm gonna give it a slap. I will say the worst part of the song is Drake's verse.
Yeah.
I think French Montana, like, this is one of the more impressive, you know, songs I've heard from French Montana in a while. Just in the fact that, you know, on the hook, it's more melodic than I expected. Yeah. Like, he's not fully singing, but at the end of, you know, the hook, the no stylist.
Yeah, really.
Put an auto-tune on that, please. French Montana puts auto-tune on it. It just wasn't something I was expecting, so that's why I'm giving it a slap.
Mm-hmm.
Next we got the second song off of that is
Juice.
What do you think of this one?
I'm gonna skip this one also. This is French Montana as a solo artist for me. He's not always the strongest when it comes lyrically. I think the production on all of his songs is great, and I think French Montana is more of a curator than he is like an actual rapper, because he has moments where he's good, like No Shopping. He's pretty good on No Shopping. And even on, what's it called? The song with Swae Lee. Unforgettable. That song. I like his part on Unforgettable, too. But I don't know. He's just kind of a cut and dry rapper for me. But his production's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm also going to give this a skip. Once I heard, you know, I got the juice, I got the sauce as the hook, I was like, I'm good.
I skipped
like, that's
it.
Literally as crazy as it gets. Yeah. So it's a skip for that reason. Mm-hmm. Next we got...
What's Nervous.
Nervous, the second Nervous in this Slap or Skip playlist. Yeah. I'm also going to give this a skip. What do you think, Trevor?
I'll give it a skip also. I'm not... Right. I mean, as a whole, I'm just not really feeling this whole thing. It's just... I don't know. It's French Montana. It's what you would expect. But No Stylist, I will say, is probably the strongest song on here. It's definitely his strongest performance. So, mm-hmm. But yeah.
And lastly, we got 2A Boogie with the Hoodie Tracks off of SoundCloud. First is Retaliation. What'd you think, Trevor?
I'm going to give this one a slap. I really liked his the lyrics on this one. He talks a lot about his come up and his struggles and stuff and how he's, you know, staying true to himself. The instrumental, it sounds like, you know, something A Boogie would easily hop on. There's this nice piano melody in the background. The 808s are very bouncy. It's very fast and up-tempo. But I'm going to give it a slap. I like it.
Word. I'm going to give this a meh. Overall, like, I think, as you said, it sounds like an instrumental A Boogie would hop on, but it just felt like, I guess the word is predictable.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing really that stands out about this instrumental to me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that stands out about A Boogie's performance. It's not necessarily a bad song. It's just like...
It's okay.
Yeah, and you can tell he just kind of... Both these tracks he put out with, like, a hashtag, Road to Hoodie Season. So I guess this is just, like, some loose singles that he's just dropping before his project comes out. So yeah, it was okay for me. Next we got Bentley Bentayga. What'd you think of this one?
This one's a meh for me. I feel like his energy didn't really match the instrumental, or the instrumental didn't match his energy, I guess I should say, because the instrumental's very low key.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very soft melody. There's really nothing booming about the 808s, but he's like yelling on this thing. Yeah. So I don't think it plays off that well sonically, so for that reason, I'll give it an MA.
But I'm going to give this a skip just because I think the song's like 2 minutes 20 seconds, mm-hmm. and the last like 45 seconds are him just like riffing, and I think it's because he just didn't have anything to say. And at that point, like, why put this out?
Right.
Like, I don't need to hear you just making up random noises for like 40 seconds at the end. So that concludes our Slap or Skip. Let's get into the Young Thug EP, On the Run.
Hell yeah. Do you want me to kick this one off?
Yes, sir.
All right. This shit is hot, yo. I like every song on this. Every song is really fun and upbeat. Way different from Slime Language. I felt like the quality of the songs on here were different, and I think that's mostly because Thugger, you know, it was more of his album than it was like a YSL showcase.
Yeah. Because
that's really what Slime Language was just really for all the other artists on the label to show what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
So Angel track On the Run grew on me. I didn't really like it as much in the beginning, but like I said, it grew on me. It's very bouncy. You know, he comes in with a lot of energy right off the bat. Icy's the same way. Icy's hot. The song with Black is crazy. Climax is nuts. But I gotta say, my favorite song in this has to be the song with Jaden Smith, Sin.
Yeah, that one was actually
that one's
hard.
Crazy. The melody, the instrumental is nothing too special, but his flow, Jaden Smith's flow on this is crazy. Like, he starts out singing, and he adapts Young Thug's flow from the hook, but he makes it his own, and he sounds really good on it. So that's all I'll say for now, but I'll let you talk about what you think about it.
I mean, there isn't a whole lot to say about this project just because it's a tight project.
Yeah.
What was it, six
tracks? Songs.
Six songs, and all of them I say are pretty good. Overall, like, my best way to explain it, I'd say it's kind of like pop trap. It's definitely, it's still trap, but it's definitely, all the instrumentals are vibrant and very poppy, mm-hmm. very, you know, ear catching. There aren't really any tracks that I didn't like. I would say I really like the last song, High
is dope.
Featuring Elton John. I think that stood out the most to me just mm-hmm. because, like, it's got like these slow piano keys, but it's also airy, and it's
very
just got
airy.
Like this like atmospheric vibe going to it, as well as I think it's kind of funny with Young Thug. Like, in that track, his verse starts off where it seems like it's going to be sentimental. He's talking about, like, you know, getting jewelry for his family and taking care of his family. And then the next, like, three lines later, we're talking about him running a train. Like, how does that correlate? I don't know. But only Young Thug can get away with that. So that being said, lyrically, you know, this it's
nothing.
It's your same old Young Thug. Where if you're really sitting down reading lyrics like I do, you're like, wow, this is.
Yeah, there's really no substance here, but it sounds freaking great. I really like every song on here. But then again, it feels like an album of, I don't even want to say Lucy's, but like, it kind of does feel like an album full of Lucy's in a way, just because he was like, you know, album, 2 days.
Yeah, but I think even though it came out like weeks later. He's going to jail.
I think that's why it was called On the Run. He's on the run and, you know, he's got that those felonies he's got to deal with.
So it makes sense that it feels like a bunch of just like loose tracks put into one.
He's got to get the
project bag
real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I do have this question for you, Trevor, and the people listening.
Mm-hmm.
I think with artists, after a certain period of time, like once you put out enough projects, you just become like legend no matter what you put out. Do we think Young Thug has gotten to that level where like no matter what he puts out, we're going to be like, this is good?
That's an interesting question. But no, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because I really do feel like Slime Language was one of his weaker projects. Mm-hmm. And it's so forgettable.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, Young Thug, I love Young Thug. I've been a Young Thug fan for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, each project that he's released has like gotten better and better and better.
Right.
Which like leads into your point of saying like now he's maybe reached this legend status.
Yeah, where like you reach a point of no return where you can't really get any better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, your fans will accept everything you put out as just like godly.
As heat. And I only disagree with that right now because Slime Language was a little bit of a flop, but this was fire. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to end up being, but I think he obviously will reach a point where it's just going to be like, all right, like Young Thug's not that good anymore. Like everybody reaches that point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some artists reach that point,
yeah.
But I should say most artists reach that point. Like even Drake,
with every artist, it's either you quit, like you say, you know, it's time for me to retire. I'm not in my prime anymore, or you keep going.
Right.
And so it happens to every artist that chooses not to retire.
I think this is a perfect question about like Drake, because Drake is easily one of those guys. He plateaued. Like he reached, if you're reading this, it's too late. And he just hasn't like peaked that since, even though I've been saying Nothing Was the Same as my favorite album of his. But like, I feel like in terms of quality, he's just reached this point where like, you know, no matter what he puts out, people are going to praise it.
Right, right.
So, but for Young Thug, I don't think he's quite there yet, but he's getting close. He's definitely getting close.
Yeah. I asked that not because I don't like this project. I really enjoy it, but I was listening to it and I'm thinking, like, what do I enjoy about this?
Yeah.
What makes this anything
I think it just sounds
special?
Like, it just sounds fun.
Yeah.
That's really, to me, what was the most enjoyable part
about it. Yeah, I've started to realize,
it.
Like, Young Thug is a lot like Lil Uzi, where it's like, if you're listening for something deeper, it's not going to be there.
Yeah.
It's mostly just for how much fun can they have in the studio and translate that to your earphones.
Right.
That's pretty much what they do. And I think he definitely does a good job in this project.
Right.
So I don't want it to come off as me not liking this project. Just food for thought, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Question. Definitely.
I think that's going to wrap up our discussion about this project overall, though. We got to talk hoops.
Yes.
We're back.
Finally, time for ankle breaks.
We're back. So, what do you want to talk about first? Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, let's do Jimmy Butler.
All right. You want to give like a quick like rundown of what's been going on?
Yeah, so Jimmy Butler is not happy with the Timberwolves. He requested a trade
last week.
Last week. And he didn't really cite a reason why, but some reports were starting to come out that he was, you know, butting heads with teammates, which, as you put down, that, you know, he had problems with Derrick Rose and Rondo when he was on the Bulls.
Yeah.
And now he's having problems with Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins, which the Karl Anthony Towns stuff is funny to me because it stemmed from like rumors.
Yeah.
And people were just like, oh, like Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. Oh!
Like, so that's where that's coming
from.
Yeah.
I will say like that was only rumored. Like I tried to do a deep dive on that. The only evidence they have is some guy in an Instagram comment saying, I know somebody that's in the Timberwolves organization that told me this is true.
Yeah.
That's our only source.
Yeah, I'm not going to believe that. But, you know, this process has gone on, and the Timberwolves want to keep him. Thibodeau has made it clear that he wants to keep Jimmy Butler. They had a meeting yesterday.
Well, let's say the organization.
The organization,
don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The organization does want to keep him. And they had a meeting, I think it was yesterday, in which they tried to convince Jimmy Butler to stay, but he stood firm, said he wants to be traded. And now we're here. This is where we're at.
Yeah.
Where to start?
My first question really is about does Jimmy Butler deserve some of the blame with these conflicts? Because as you kind of said, when Jimmy Butler was back on the Bulls, originally he had issues with Derrick Rose. Once he kind of rose into his own, you know, all-star level play, him and Derrick Rose had issues because, you know, Jimmy Butler wanted to take up the ball a lot. Then he had issues with Rondo. Rondo called out both Jimmy Butler and D-Wade on their team leadership skills.
Right.
They came out in a press conference and pretty much said, yeah, I look at D-Wade and can say he's doing his job, and D-Wade can look at me and say I'm doing my job, but we can't say that about anybody else when you have a bunch of young guys on your team.
Yeah.
That's not really great leadership.
Yeah.
And now we kind of see something similar happening here where Jimmy Butler has been calling out Karl-Anthony Towns for being soft, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something online where it said that apparently, like, after a game one time, he just yelled in the hallway, "Stop your like, you don't do that." I don't know if that's true or not. That's all based off of stuff I've seen on the internet. As well as Andrew Wiggins, he's called him out for, you know, not necessarily having that drive, that work ethic, that competitiveness, that gene,
yeah,
I guess.
I got you.
With that, does Jimmy Butler have some blame here?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, like, you have guys like Rondo who have, like, historically had teammate problems in the past. But, I mean, it sounds like these problems are coming from guys I wouldn't expect him to have problems with, or, like, problems with people in general. Like, Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, like, before Butler, I'd never heard about them, like, having any problems with anybody else. But, I mean, that's just me personally. And then Derrick Rose, like, I haven't heard anybody say, like, oh, Derrick Rose, like, I beef with Derrick Rose all the time. But, like, Rondo is an exception here. But I think he definitely does. But, and we obviously don't know the full story. We don't know what's going on in the locker room and stuff. But, I mean, the way it's leading, it looks like Jimmy Butler could be potentially, like, a toxic teammate to some of these guys.
What I'm getting from it is, like, I don't know if he's a toxic teammate. I think the issue is, it's almost like, you could compare him to Kobe, and where it's like, you can tell Jimmy Butler works hard. You can tell that. But I think because he works so hard, if he sees someone where he considers they're not working as hard as him, he's not the type that's going to bite his tongue. He's going to say it both to your face and to the media.
Yeah.
So in that regard, you could say he's toxic. But at the same time, I think it just really depends on the situation he's in. Like, if you match him up with a Russell Westbrook, that's not going to be toxic. They're both going to understand, like, I work hard, you work hard, there's no issues here.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't know if it's fully on Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Andrew Wiggins, I think that's been something that's been talked about since he was coming out of college. Mm-hmm. Of, does he have that drive? Does he have that it factor to become a superstar? Does he really want to work hard? Or does he just want to make money?
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler so far hasn't proven them wrong in asking those questions. So,
you're right.
With all that being said, I don't know if it's Jimmy Butler's fault, but it's definitely something to consider.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess we'll just jump to this. Should the Timberwolves trade Jimmy Butler?
This is tough to answer because, you know, if you're planning on keeping the rest of your team long term, I would say, yeah, you have to trade him. You have to get rid of him, especially if you're serious about keeping this young core of Kat and Wiggins. But, I mean, on the flip side of that, the Timberwolves made the playoffs last year for the first time in 13 years.
Right.
And Jimmy Butler was a huge part of that. But at the same time, this could be one of those situations where, like, you know, he doesn't put his all into it because he's playing for a team he doesn't want to play for.
And he's a free agent next summer. So he could easily just walk if they don't trade him.
Yeah, exactly. So should they? I guess. Yeah, they should. You know, they could obviously get some out of it. Jimmy Butler's a very valuable player. I would say, would you say he's top 10 in the league?
No.
I would say he's top 15 in the league. And you could definitely get a lot of good pieces for him that you could use in the future. So I think they should. I definitely think they should trade him.
Yeah, I think this is kind of, if you can't trade Andrew Wiggins, then you have to trade Butler.
Yeah, you have to trade Jimmy Butler.
I mean, I've only heard, like, the real issues I've heard is between Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins.
Uh-huh.
The Karl-Anthony Towns issues, those haven't been as pronounced online. I haven't seen, like, I've seen the whole girlfriend thing, but I don't really buy into that just because we don't have any hard evidence on that. So I think if you can somehow get rid of Wiggins' terrible contract, he's getting paid way too much money for an inefficient score. But if you can't get rid of him, then you got to get rid of Butler. You can't keep them both.
Mm-hmm.
So far it's been rumored of teams. Well, Jimmy Butler, he came out and said his teams that he would like to go to are the Clippers, Knicks, and Nets. And then it's also been rumored that Miami is interested in them as well as interested in him, as well as the Houston Rockets. So what would you say is the best possible destination we can get for Jimmy Butler?
For Jimmy Butler, I mean, if he wants to win, like, he's not going to really win on the Clippers. It sounds like he just wants the bag, honestly.
Right. This,
yeah, Clippers, Knicks, Nets, those are all teams with cap space, and it sounds like he just wants to get paid. So for his sake, hey, if he goes to the Knicks, that would even feed in more to the rumor mill about him and Kyrie Irving. But, I mean, I don't care where he ends up. If he ends up on the Nets, I don't give a
oh!
like, because they're the Brooklyn Nets.
Right.
And they're on the cusp of, like, finally having the pieces to build, like, a
to
good
be
team.
Relevant.
Yeah. But, I mean, for his sake, I guess it just depends on how much money he wants to make. So I really don't care where he ends up, honestly.
Yeah. The only reason I care is if he goes to the Rockets or goes to the Miami Heat, that makes a huge difference in either,
especially if
in
he's
either
on the Rockets,
conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes to the Rockets, all of a sudden they have a defensive small forward that they can put on KD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he really is going to shut KD down, but it's still something interesting. And all of a sudden, you know, even though the Warriors upgraded with Boogie, the Rockets upgraded with Jimmy Butler, so you can still say they're competing. They can still compete with the Warriors, even with Boogie. So I think that would be interesting. If he goes to the Heat, all of a sudden have, like, someone that could be, like, their main focal point.
Yeah.
I will say, D-Wade and Jimmy Butler didn't really work in Chicago, so why would it work in Miami? Yes, they have, like, a young core around them that's very talented, but I don't know how well that would really work out.
Right.
But it would still be interesting. I think it would make – it could definitely help the Heat, like, leap from, let's say, like, a 6 seed to maybe a 4 or 3 seed.
Yeah, because they're always relevant in the playoffs. So if they add Jimmy Butler, they could easily hop up into that 4 spot.
Right. And – with that being said, like, if you went to, like, the Knicks or the Nets, I think the Knicks would be interesting. I mean,
yeah,
you
the
have,
Knicks would definitely be interesting. They have pieces.
Yeah, then you have Jimmy Butler, Porzingis, and then you still got young guys like that guy, Nicotine.
I can't say his last name. I know you're talking about them.
So I think I would hope for him to go to Houston just because I always root for the Warriors not to win a championship. But yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
I think that's all we're going to do for the whole Jimmy Butler discussion. Now we can go on to Mark Cuban.
Mm.
So Mark Cuban, if you haven't been following this story, it's been a couple months now. The Mavericks organization was investigated for, you know, sexual assault. Not sexual assault.
Harassment.
Sexual harassment
in the workplace.
That's different. My bad. Sexual harassment in the workplace as well as violence against women in the workplace.
Yeah.
And based on all of the investigation, apparently, you know, there was no evidence that Mark Cuban was aware of anything that was happening in the organization. So he wasn't, so the league wasn't able to, I guess, suspend him or remove him from his position of power. But they did force him to pay $10 million to women's organizations such as the Me Too movement as a punishment for all of these acts that happened within his organization.
Right.
So we're going to just kind of talk about the morals behind this. You know, is it right for Mark Cuban to be punished? Is this punishment enough? All that. So first question, is this a fair punishment in your eyes, Trevor?
I think it's absolutely a fair punishment. I mean, yeah, he didn't know what was going on, but you as like an owner of a team, you have an obligation to your employees. You have an obligation to know what's going on, to recognize what's going on. And if you're not making that effort, then you're not doing a good job. So this is it's not all on him, but a good amount of it is, because, you know, as the CEO, you have to ensure that your employees are happy and that they're not getting sexually harassed, because I think there were 15 women that came forward and said that and cited sexual harassment in the workplace. And it was a serious problem. Like, this is a serious problem, especially for the Mavericks. I'm trying to find some other notable quotes here.
Okay.
So, like, some Teredema Usri was one of the women that came forward. She cited inappropriate comments, touching, and forcible kissing. That's whack, if you ask me, obviously. But I think it's definitely a fair punishment because, I mean, at the end of the day, it does have to fall on his shoulders because this is the team, this is the organization he's supposed to be overseeing. And if he's not doing that, he should be punished for it.
So would you say like a suspension or removing him from the position of owner? Is that,
I don't think removing him, I don't think removing him is the right thing to do, yeah, or suspending him necessarily, because he had no idea about it. And obviously we don't know how fruitful those, yeah, well, that they, statement is.
They
but,
had like hundreds of investigations, or they interviewed hundreds of witnesses.
Right.
So
at that point you got to know that, right, something's going on. So maybe, yeah, then maybe a suspension wouldn't be too brash, I'd say.
Well,
but,
no, my point is, like, they interviewed hundreds of witnesses, and all of them said, like, Mark Cuban had no idea.
Oh, okay,
this,
all right.
Because he's not involved with the business side of things.
I got you, I got you. All right. So, yeah, then in that case, like, I think the $10 million donation or fine is, that's an acceptable punishment. Because, yeah, if he had to resign over that, having no idea, I feel like that would be unfair to him.
Right. I think it's the right balance. One, yeah, I think by making him pay $10 million, instead of having him pay like the $2 million fine to the league, instead of doing,
yeah,
that and making it $10 million towards women's organizations, since they're doing that, it's like it's at least going to something positive instead,
right,
of, you know, just taking money out of his pocket to prove a point. It's,
yeah,
at least doing something to benefit people that were affected by,
absolutely,
this organization.
Yeah, so I think that was definitely the right move on his, whether that was league directed or his directive, that was definitely the right move on both ends,
yeah,
to do that. So, but yeah.
Let's move on to NBA Media Day.
Yeah.
So for this segment, what we're going to do is just, I'm going to take a bunch of quotes from Media Day yesterday, and we're just going to decide if it's newsworthy or not.
Right.
Is this really important? Should we look into this? Pretty much. Let's,
yeah,
get into it. Kyrie Irving, he said yesterday during media time, during Media Day, there are times where I think about having number 11 in the Raptors. Hopefully one day that's the dream.
You said Raptors, right?
Raptors,
okay.
Yeah, not Raptors,
right,
not Raptors.
So, I mean, as a Celtics fan, this makes me very, very excited. But over the course of the past couple seasons, I've learned to take what Kyrie Irving says with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he actually thinks the world is flat, but this is also the same guy who has been saying that the world is flat. So, but yeah, because, you know, there was all that raw about him going to New York, linking,
yeah,
up with Jimmy Butler. So, I mean, this is definitely reassuring. It makes it seem like he does want to be a part of what's going on here in Boston. So, hey, if he stays, I have no problem with that. I have no problem with having Kyrie Irving on,
yeah,
the Celtics for a bit longer. So,
yeah, I would say this is a big quote.
Yeah, definitely.
There was another quote that came out, you know, Kyrie saying he believes the Celtics can beat the Warriors because they,
yeah,
built something special and they have a franchise that could really be dominant for years to come.
Right.
So I think, with
he
that,
was like, who wouldn't want to be a part of that,
yeah,
I think is what he said, yeah.
So with that, I think Kyrie's probably going to stay around for a few years, and, you know, barring something like crazy happens, like,
mm-hmm,
I don't know, like two people break their legs or something like that.
Yeah.
Not trying to jinx anybody, but, you know, unless something terrible happens or just this chemistry somehow doesn't work out, I think you have Kyrie Irving there for a few more years and something special really could happen.
Absolutely.
Next, we got Klay Thompson. He said, when guys go into free agency, they're looking for situations like mine. I'm content. Is this newsworthy?
No. I mean, yeah, he's on the Warriors. Of course he's content.
Yeah.
Like, anyone would be content on the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, there was rumblings that, you know, he might,
yeah,
be interested in going to the Lakers in the offseason.
Because he could be the dude on, like, any team, really.
Pretty
he could
much.
Be he could be that guy on the team. If he went to the Lakers, that would, hey, that's the shooter LeBron needs right there.
Yeah.
And the Lakers need, because Ron, it just got announced today, Rondo's going to be the starting point guard. I don't know if you heard that, but if he went to the Lakers, that would be nuts. But I mean, I'm content. Like, yeah, he's fine with being on the Warriors because they're winning. You know, you're getting rings. Like, how could you not be content with that?
Right. I'd say it's a little bit newsworthy. Like, I think it wasn't totally locked in,
mm-hmm,
that Klay would be staying with the Warriors, and I mean it's still not totally locked in. He can,
yeah,
change his mind, but I think it adds a little bit of reassurance. He could have, you know, tried to keep it vague, but he made it pretty clear, like, why would he want to leave?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Next we got LeBron. He said the Lakers are a long way away from beating the Warriors. Is this news?
I mean, no, but like, I guess it's important to talk about because, like, the Lakers are, you know, they have a very bright future. If,
yeah,
if, I mean, LeBron, I feel like, could really set something special in motion, you know, kind of just leave his legacy at the door, you know, like really help this team develop. So, yeah, I do think they're definitely a long way from beating the Warriors. But they could definitely, in a couple of years, be competitive. But then at that point, are the Warriors even going to be competitive?
Yeah. I think this quote is important just because it just shows that LeBron is not putting any pressure on the organization again. This is kind of similar to when he first went to Cleveland, when he wrote, like, the Lee Jenkins piece about, you know, the I'm coming home, all that, and talking about how we have all these young players. At the time, it said, like, did it even include Wiggins? I don't think it included Wiggins in the piece. But it was talking about how he has a young core that he's willing to grow with. So I'm glad that he's come with that perspective, but we'll see how that shows in a year.
Right.
Because, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, we don't have any pressure. But, you know, when you have LeBron in the playoffs, there's going to be pressure.
Yeah, yeah, so, there's definitely going to be pressure.
So I still think this is a newsworthy quote.
Yeah.
Next, we got Kawhi Leonard. Yesterday, during an interview in Media Day, he said that I'm a fun guy.
This is news.
With the most awkward laugh possible.
I'm a fun guy. Obviously, I love the game of basketball. I mean, it's just more questions you have to ask me in order for me to tell you about myself. I just can't give you a whole spiel. I don't even know where you're sitting at.
So
we're going to make that a drop.
Is this news?
Yes.
I'm a fun guy.
This is definitely
Kawhi
news.
Kawhi Leonard.
This is definitely news. This is the most stoic guy in the NBA you're talking about. Whenever I think of Kawhi Leonard, I think of that picture of him like going up for a dunk, and it's cocked back, but his face is completely like emotionless.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I forget the captions I saw on it, but like Kawhi Leonard, especially this offseason, doesn't seem like the most fun guy. He's running around like avoiding the Spurs. I mean, I believe Kawhi Leonard can have some fun every now and then, but
I don't think Kawhi is a fun guy. Like, if you listen to that,
he might be a robot.
If you listen to his laugh, like, it literally sounds like,
and
he,
it looks pain. Yeah, no, it literally looked like it was painful for him.
Like, he struggled to get that laugh off.
It's his first time laughing.
And last quote, just because you know I'm a Lakers fan, I got to throw in one more. Lonzo Ball says he didn't tweak his jumper, but he did get stronger. Is this newsworthy?
Yeah, because Lonzo needs to tweak his jumper.
Dude,
he looks big, though. Did you see the pictures? He looks big.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, like, because last year, Lonzo wasn't a great finisher. Like, you could compare him to, like, Ricky Rubio in that respect, where, like, he's a great playmaker, but he wasn't a good finisher, and he wasn't really a good shooter.
Yeah.
So if he's, with him being stronger, I expect him to be able to finish more.
More of a slasher,
If he can finish more and just get points in the paint, that's really all you need to be.
It'd be easier for him, and it would be easier for him to just drive and kick, too.
Yeah.
If he can get, like, because that would force a double, kick it out to the wing and shit. So, yeah, I think this is definitely big that, you know, he's gotten stronger. It'll definitely affect how he plays. And I'm interested to see how it affects how he plays with LeBron, too. Because, you know, if he's going to be playing that slasher type and he's not going to be sitting on the wing, you know, how's that going to work? Because LeBron needs shooters around him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if LeBron needs shooters around him.
Yeah.
I think if the Lakers really want to maximize LeBron's potential, you just have LeBron set picks for Rondo and Lonzo all day. And then you put you still need shooters, obviously. You put two shooters around him, and he's just rolling to the rim. How do you guard that?
Yeah, right.
How do you really guard
that? That's true.
So, I think that's
I have one more quote if you're interested.
Yes, sir.
All right, so Markieff Morris threw shade at the Celtics during Media Day, saying that Boston has never been better than us, referring to
mean,
the Wizards.
Oh, you said Markieff Morris.
Did I say Marcus?
Yeah,
Markieff. I did mean Markieff Morris.
Well, Markieff.
Markieff is on
the Wizards.
I thought
it was Marcin Gortat that said that.
No, Markieff Morris said that.
All right.
I just had the article up.
My bad.
You're all good. But so he said that Boston has never been better than us.
Yeah.
That's newsworthy because it's, like, that's not true. Like, I feel, and the Wizards, I mean, we talked about it yesterday. The Wizards are, like, the cockiest team in the league, and they always, like, barely scrape into the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely, they have a lot to prove. They're a team that loves to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I think they just got to prove it. If they think they're really better than the Celtics, show us.
Yeah,
show
for us. Real. Because, I mean, the past couple of years has shown me that you're still not.
Right.
And there's no way that the Wizards, as they are now, are going to be better than this Celtics team. You know, with Kyrie back, Tatum playing
I don't know,
like
man.
He has.
Dwight Howard?
Bro, shut up.
Dwight Howard? That's a future Hall
Dwight
of Famer.
Right? Yo, Dwight Howard got sunned by Shaq over the past week. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. That was mad funny.
He's not doing shit, Dwight Howard.
All right, I think that's going to end our hoops discussion for the day. I hope our basketball fans are happy with that.
Satisfied. There's going to be more coming. Yeah, preseason starts this week. So
we'll have a lot more to talk about. Thanks for listening, guys. Do we have a release radar? Anything coming out?
There's a Logic album coming out on Friday.
Yep.
And the Kanye album is supposed to drop Friday as well.
Yeah.
Yandy.
He's supposed to debut it on Saturday, actually.
Really?
He's supposed to perform on Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
The season premiere, and then probably put out the album.
All right.
That
well,
night.
We'll see if it actually comes out or not. But yeah, that's all I know of right now.
Yeah. So once again, give us a follow. 808s_8breaks, Twitter and Instagram. On Instagram, we love to do song suggestions in our Instagram stories. We're working on getting pictures out. I know we haven't been posting recently, but I'll get on that soon. Bring you those Photoshops and everything. And then follow us on Twitter.
Shit you love.
Yeah. I'm Jay Kerman, 98 on Twitter and Instagram, and
I'm Trevor Wilson OG on Twitter, Trevor_Wilson08 on Instagram.
All right, have a good week, guys.